Good morning and welcome to The Crossing. If you're a first-time guest with us, we are excited you're here. If you're a regular attending, we're excited you're here too. And so I am not Pastor Zach. I am not the lead pastor of The Crossing. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith Morris. I am the associate pastor. I do youth and operations. And so, but I'm honored to be able to stand up here today. Pastor Zach is celebrating his birthday. He went and watched the Hogs dominate yesterday. It's a big deal in Arkansas and Texas. No one cares. But in Arkansas, it's a big deal because we actually look pretty good this year. So, well, first game, I guess. But college football started yesterday, right? No, Texas is all about National Football League, whatever, Cowboys. Arkansas doesn't have an NFL team. I wish they did. But that's because we're too good at college to have an NFL team. Sorry. Focus, Keith. Okay, so we've been on this series in Breakthrough. I'm honored to be here today, and Pastor Zach left me week three, and I'm so excited to talk to you today. We've been going through about Breakthrough, and the first week we looked at different characteristics of God. We looked at God, our deliverer, and we talked about those seasons where you just feel like you're backed up against the wall, you know, like that things are just feel like they're caving in and you don't know where you're going. And you're like, God, where are you? You're praying. You don't hear him speaking to you. And you think he's just not there. You start to ask questions like, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? And so we talked about God, our deliverer, the first week. And we told the story about the Israelites being delivered from the Egyptians. And then the second week, last week, we talked about God, our peace, and the fact that when we struggle, when we come through trials, when we are at those moments that we feel like God is absent, that it's okay because we can have peace because God is our source of peace. And this week, I'm excited to talk to you about the characteristic of God, our healer. I believe that there are many of us in this room that are in need of a healing of some sort. And healing comes in many different fashions, and it may be a physical healing, it may be an emotional healing, it may be a spiritual healing, but I believe there are people that walked in with those kinds of needs today, and whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical, you need healing, and you came in this morning, and you need a breakthrough, and I believe that you're tapped out. You've tapped out all of your resources. Maybe it's a physical healing, and maybe you've gone to the doctors, and the reports just keep getting worse. Or maybe it's emotional, and you're just you've tapped out all of your resources, and you've come to this point. You're just like, I don't know what to do anymore. And today, I want to talk to you about God, our healer. I want to tell you that God is still in the business of miracles. That God has not stopped healing people. He hasn't stopped working and doing miracles in this generation and in these generations to come. He is in the business of healing, and he is in the business of his people. So we've been in this series for a while, and the idea is that we go through these trials, and we're on this journey to a breakthrough. We're on this journey, and we're on this way to something that God's going to do, and he's going to break down barriers, but we hit a setback. And so this whole series has been about a setback, something that we view as a setback that sets God up to get the glory in the end. And so today I want to talk to you about a story in Jairus, or a story in Luke about a man named Jairus. But first let's look at Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, we're in this series, and we're viewing a setback, and we're like, and God's wanting to set us up for breakthrough. But see, God's saying, look, I'm working it all out, and we come into this place, and we're like, God, I don't see you working the good. See, that's our perspective as we come in, and we're like, God, I don't see you doing good, so you must not be there. I don't see a healing. I don't see the good doctor's report, so, God, you're not here. God, I see the car breaking down. I don't see the finances coming through. I don't see the stuff working out. Like, where's the good? Where are you? And we're at this point where we need a breakthrough. And God is working all things together to the good of those who love him. Luke 8:40, we're going to get in right into the story. It says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. So we meet Jairus, and he comes to Jesus, and he's in need of a miracle. And I find it interesting, Jesus' response. See, we've been going through this series, and we've been talking about God's response and our response. And I find Jesus' response interesting, because if you read the New Testament, I can tell you a lot of stories where Jesus doesn't actually go with somebody. He doesn't actually go. He says, hey, go, your faith has healed you. Or, you know, it's a process. He says, go, your daughter will be made well. Like, he doesn't actually go with people that often. He just gives them the word. But he decides to go with Jairus, and he goes on this journey, and I ask why. And I think it's because what we have to understand is Jairus was a synagogue ruler. Theologians believe that it may have been the same synagogue that the centurion soldier was at. And so he had seen God do a miracle for the centurion soldier. And so Jairus has already known who Jesus was. He already knew all about Jesus. But see, in that day, the synagogue rulers and the government were not fans of Jesus, right? And so they didn't get along, and they didn't gel well. And so Jairus is the synagogue ruler. He was someone of authority. He was someone with reputation, and he was well known by the Pharisees and the other synagogue rulers. He was a man of reputation. And see, I think our response when we have a need, or when we have a miracle, or we're waiting for a miracle, or we need a breakthrough, is that we want to do it on our own. Our response is often pride. Our response, we allow pride to prevent us from reaching out to God. So Jairus is this man who needs a miracle. He needs a breakthrough, but he has to come to a place of humility. And so Jairus comes to Jesus and falls at his knees, it says. See, a lot of times our response is the opposite. A lot of times we're worried about what people may think. It's natural. It's, you know, we think, well, if people really knew what I was struggling with, what would they think about? What would they say? You know, if they knew that. You know, especially sometimes we put pastors on a pedestal, right? And that's kind of how it works. And pastors sometimes put themselves on pedestals. And they're like, man, if my people really knew what I was struggling with, you know, if they really knew the kind of miracle I needed, my reputation would be done. What would they think? What would they say? But Jairus has to overcome that. He comes to a place of humility. He comes to a place of submissiveness. See, an attitude of submissiveness is not a loss of authority. It's a realization of who our authority comes from. It's a realization of the source of our authority. And so Jairus comes to this realization that God is our source. And he comes down to him, and humility activates God's ability to help. And that's why Jesus begins to go with Jairus. See, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. 1 Peter 5:6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. See, God responds to humility. Humility activates God's ability to help. See, Jairus had to come to the point where he was like, look, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what if it costs me my reputation with the other rulers. I don't care what happens, but I'm going to come to Jesus because I know he's where my source is. Some of y'all are in this room and y'all are needing a breakthrough, and y'all have been trying to do it on your own. And the truth is, we got to come to a place of humility. We got to come to a place where we say, God, I can't do this on my own. Because when we get to that place, that's the activation. See, God is a gentleman. He's not going to come do something for you unless you welcome him to do it. He's not just going to, the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. You know, he's a gentleman. He's not just going to take control of you. He has to be welcomed. And see, humility is an act of welcoming. It's an act of realizing, God, you are my source. And I need you to lift me up. So we continue on the story, right? So Jairus comes to this place of humility. And then he begins this journey with Jesus. In Luke 8:43-48. Right in the middle of this journey, they're on their way to go heal his daughter, right? Because his daughter's dying. And right in the middle of this journey, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. And she could find no cure. It's funny. When we're in a need or when we have a miracle, a lot of times God's our last option. You know what I'm saying? We don't go to him first. We wait till the last moment. This lady had tried everything else. It said she could find no cure. She could find no cure. That means she searched everywhere else. It's funny how a lot of times God's our last option instead of our first option. Anyways, that was free. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched him, touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power come out of my body. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. How many of you have ever been driving, like, to get on the tollway? So, almost everyone in this room uses the tollway. I don't like to use tollways because I'm cheap, but I do use them every once in a while. Especially, I picked up the side thing where I DoorDash sometimes. I deliver people's food. So if you order on DoorDash, you might get me as a deliver. I get to come see your house. It's kind of cool. But I've been delivering. And what I've noticed is I get really frustrated at other drivers in Texas. People in Texas don't know how to drive. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm scared because the farmer's almanac is calling for, like, a cold winter. And I'm like, Lord, if it snows, I am barricading myself in my house. Not because I can't drive on it, because all these other people can't drive on it. And so, but what I find out is a lot of times I get so mad because I'm having to wait for people to do things that I'm like, why are we stopping? Why are we braking? Like, we went to the football game, Little Elm football game. I rode with Pastor Zach and Mandy, and we went to the Little Elm football game Friday. And by the way, Gracie Miller, our pastor's daughter, got honorary band member of the week. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's a big deal, right? Yeah. Hopefully she'll listen to this recording and she'll hear that. But yeah, it's a big deal. It's awesome. Those are our kids, you know what I'm saying? And so what an example. Anyways, but we're driving down I-35 headed towards Justin. I don't know if is that north? We're headed north on I-35 north. And we get to, like, the place where, like, they're building the new Buc-ee's over on the left. You know what I'm saying? And Pastor makes this statement. He's like, traffic always slows down here. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know. And so, but literally, he said that. And then we get up there, and it slows down to, like, bumper to bumper. Like, you're, like, inching forward. And I get frustrated in situations like that. I'm like, why are we not moving? This is a waste of time. You are wasting my time. My time is money. My time is valuable. Come on, people. Put your foot on the pedal and go. You know what I'm saying? And then we get up there, and I'm like, there's no wreck. There's no one on the side of the road. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was a complete waste of time. And so now, let's look back at Jairus. So now you know how to relate to Jairus, okay? Because Jairus gets to this point where Jesus stops and he's like, who touched me? Jairus is like, bro, there's a crowd. Like, everyone's touching everyone. Some versions of this thing say that the crowd was literally, like, crushing. Like, it was like such a, like, almost like a mob crowd. Like, it was crushing, that it could crush people. And so Jesus is like, who touched me? quit wasting my time. My daughter's dying. You know what I'm saying? Like, can y'all relate to that? It's like traffic. Jesus, put your foot on the pedal. Let's go. But often that's our response. Is we become our response in a time of breakthrough, in a time, see, it's the setback. This is Jairus' setback moment. He's needing a breakthrough. He's needing a miracle. He's needing God to heal his daughter. But he comes to this moment where things just stop. And he doesn't understand why. Look, people, I get it. She touched you. Who cares? She's healed. My problem. Let's go. Fix my stuff. And we get to this issue where it's like, come on, God. Like, you're not moving on my pace. You're not moving to my watch. That's our response. We become impatient. We want God to move on our time and our way, and we want to see him do it now. You know what I'm talking about? Like Burger King, like have it your way now. You know, you go through the driveway. We are such a world of convenience where everything, we want it fast, we want it now. That's why I got a job door dashing, because no one wants to get out and go get their food. They want it now. They don't want to cook it. They don't want to do it. So I get paid to go take people their food. Works out for me. But when it comes to our breakthroughs, a lot of times it's a hindrance. We view it as a setback. God, you're wasting our time. God, you're wasting our time. Can I tell you something, church? Time waited is not time wasted. Time waited is not time wasted. See, it reminds me of a story in Habakkuk. You know it's real this morning. God took me to Habakkuk. You don't go to Habakkuk unless it's real. You know what I'm saying? Who reads Habakkuk? But I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But we get, so, I'm sorry. Man, I love y'all because I can just be real with y'all. We get to Habakkuk, right? And Habakkuk, he's this prophet, right? And the Babylonians are like, they're in captivity, and the Babylonians are just like being ruthless. And Habakkuk comes to this place where he's like, in Habakkuk 1:17, it says, will you let them go away forever? Or will you let them go? Get away with this forever. Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest? God, is this going to go on forever? See, a lot of times we get in that place where we're like, God's not moving to our time. We're not seeing him like help our problem. We see all the other people around us. You know what I'm saying? We see the people around us getting promotions, or we see the people around us getting healed, or we see God working on other people's behalf. And we get to that place where we're like, is it going to be like this forever, God? Like where I see you're blessing that person, and I've been struggling for years. Is it going to be like this forever? Are you going to let the enemy do this to me forever? That's what Habakkuk's saying. He's saying, God, where are you at? Where are you at? Why is this happening? And I love God's response. In Habakkuk 2:3, God's response is so good. It says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, it is coming. Wait patiently, for it surely will take place. It will not be delayed. He's talking about Jesus coming back. He's talking about us going. It's a prophecy. He's talking, but his timing will not delay. See, God's timing will not delay. God's response is like, look, trust me. My timing is perfect. We just sang that song, you are perfect in all your ways. That's what God's asking. He's saying, look, trust me, my ways are perfect, my timing is perfect. It may seem like it's coming slow, it may seem like I'm not moving, it may seem like I'm not working all things to your good, because you don't see it with my eyes, you only see with your natural eyes. But I can tell you, church, that his timing is perfect and it will not delay. Some of y'all have been in this in the season where you've been praying for a miracle or you've been praying for a breakthrough and you feel like God has not answered or he's abandoned you. And I'm here to tell you that there is a season for everything and that his timing will come. And when it does, it will be on time. It will be perfect. And so Jairus doesn't see this yet. He sees this woman, right? She's healed. She gets 12 years of this blood as she gets up. And Jairus is over here. I could just imagine, like, the frustration. Like, those little cartoons where, like, his head's turning red and the steam's blowing out his ears. And Jairus is sitting there and he's like, God, let's go. And it's because he doesn't see God's timing. He doesn't see his ways. Because in the next verse, this is why God's timing is so perfect. Look at this. Luke 8:49-50. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now." Some versions say the master. There's no use in talking to Jesus anymore. But when Jesus heard this, had heard what happened, he said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith and she will be healed." See, Jairus has to come to this decision. See, a lot of us have been in this place where Jairus is, where he sees everyone else being healed or he sees this woman be healed. And we're in this place where we're like, God, why are you not working on my stuff? Why are you not doing what I need you to do? Why am I not receiving a breakthrough? Why am I not getting a miracle? And then this next verse, could you imagine? Could you imagine? We're on the way to my house to heal my daughter. This is my journey. You know what I'm saying? This is, God, you're taking me. You said you were coming, and now we stopped. And because we stopped, my daughter is dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's our response. Look, my daughter is dead because you stopped to see who touched you in a crowd of 400,000 people. I don't know how many people were actually there. I'm just making up numbers. But in this huge crowd, you stopped. And we were supposed to be going to heal my daughter, and now she's dead because you stopped. How many times are we like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, God, this is your fault. I needed a breakthrough. I needed a miracle, and you didn't come through. This is your fault. And we blame it on God. And Jairus, I have this feeling that this is all going through his mind. And Jesus speaks to him and he says, look, do not be afraid. Just have faith and she will be healed. Our response, our barrier a lot of times to receiving a breakthrough and healing is fear. Is fear. We allow fear to set in, leading to a place of doubt. We allow our fear to doubt who God says he is. And so I looked up this word fear. I was like, God, what do you mean by fear? Because I'm not afraid of anything except for snakes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will step on a spider. I will eat scorpions. But you throw a snake out in front of me, God? Lord, I need an ambulance because I'm having a heart attack, okay? But I was like, this isn't the kind of fear that I get when I need God to move. I'm not like afraid like for my life that I'm going to die. But the fear, listen to what fear is according to the dictionary. Fear is a feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something. That's the first one. A feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something. The second one is the likelihood of something unwelcome happening. So Jairus is in this moment, and I could just see him now, like, I could just see anxiety start to come over him. I've been in situations as a pastor where I've come into a room in a hospital where someone's lost a loved one. Christine, you've probably seen this. Where in the hospital where people lose loved ones, many of y'all may have experienced, and you're in that room, and the unwelcome feeling sets in. like they're gone. And that unwelcoming feeling, it's just, anxiety starts to rise, panic starts to, like, it's a realization that's setting in. And so I can see Jairus begin to processing this. My daughter's dead. And God calls it out. He says, look, don't have anxiety. Don't worry. Don't welcome that unwelcoming feeling. Just believe in me and she will be healed. See, Jairus is faced with a decision. This is the moment of breakthrough for Jairus. This is the moment where if his miracle is going to happen, if his healing is going to come, he's got to make the decision now. Am I going to trust the naysayers, the negative Nancys? Y'all know who I'm talking about. Those people that are like, no, no, no. Don't bother him. Don't worry. Hey, she's dead. She's gone. Can I tell you something? Some of y'all have been accepting a doctor's note for what it is, and you're content with it. Some of y'all may have got a bad doctor's report in this room, and you've just accepted it as law. You're okay with it. You're like, this is what I have. No use in going to God about it. I'm just going to accept it. Let me tell you something. That there's a decision to be made there. Jairus has this decision. I can focus on the circumstance. I can focus on what's really the perception of reality that everyone else is saying. Look, I can focus on my problem, or I can focus on who God is. We got to come to the place where we focus on who God is. And so Jairus is in this moment, and here's what I believe. You want to know why God's timing is so perfect? Because I believe, this is so cool, I believe that Jairus had the faith to believe God could heal his daughter because he just saw a woman that was fighting through a crowd with an issue of blood for 12 years reach up and grab the hem of his garment and was immediately healed from her blood disease. Had no cure. You get what I'm saying? See, he was viewing it as, this is a setback, God. Like, my daughter's died now because you stopped. But in reality, Jairus' eyes, I believe, were open to the fact that, no, this isn't a setback. It's a setup, Jairus. Look, I knew these people were going to come. I knew what they were going to say to you. And so I set you up to have faith in me. God got the glory for it. His timing was perfect. So Jairus is here, and he has this option. Am I going to believe these people that say, no, my daughter's dead, or am I going to believe God? And he can make the decision because he just saw a woman get healed. It was a setup. Some of you guys, God's timing was perfect. You get what I'm saying? His timing's perfect. His ways are higher than our ways. What we view as holding us back, as being a barrier to getting where we need to be, God views as it pushing us for. It's pushing us to where we need to be. And so God gets to this point. Jairus gets to this point, and he says, I'm going to believe in God. He conquers fear with belief. He conquers fear with belief. Can I tell you something? God's already won the victory over your breakthrough. God has already claimed the victory over your breakthrough. But here's how the enemy works, okay? The enemy can't take your victory from you. You understand that? God's already, he's conquered the grave. He's rose again. He's got the keys of victory in his hand. He can't take them from Jesus again. So what happens is the devil can't destroy you. He'll distract you. And that's what the devil is attempting to do. He's like, man, God just got the glory from this girl being healed. And now he's like, and he's fixing to get, if I don't do something, he's fixing to go heal Jairus' daughter. So he sent, I believe it's an attack from the enemy. He sends these people and he's like, hey, your daughter's dead. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Some of you guys have distractions in your life and you're going to have to weed them out. You're going to have to weed the naysayers out. You're going to have to weed those people that are speaking death into your breakthrough, that are distracting you from the purpose that God has intended for you. See, God's response to our fear, God requires faith, a commitment of trust. Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. It's full on trust. It's coming to that scripture that if my God is for me, then who can be against me? His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. From my womb, you knew me. You consecrated me. You set me apart. You have a plan and a purpose for my life. It's coming to these promises in his word and believing on them. Believing on them. We talked a little bit earlier during the worship service. See, God spoke this to me so real. So real this week. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm a youth pastor. Okay. And the church takes really good care of Tiff and I financially. But this is a really high place of cost of living. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes Tiff and I struggle with this, and I'm just being real with y'all. We struggle sometimes financially. And I always I'm in that position a lot of the times where I'm like, God, you have the cattle of 1,000 hills. Like, I need just 5 of them. You know what I'm saying? Give me just 5. And I'm always waiting for it to come. You know, I open up the mailbox and I'm like, do we have a check in there today? You know what I'm saying? Lord. And sometimes he works that way. This week, I was getting my Honda Civic ready for inspection. Lord help us. So this Honda Civic is a 2003 hybrid, okay? And first year the hybrids came out. And it has mechanical issues everywhere. Toby is the man because Toby hooks me up half of the time. And so if y'all need a great mechanic or car guy, Toby's your man. But anyways, so our Aaron's here too somewhere, isn't he? So I got this Honda Hybrid Civic, right? And it's 2003. Tiff bought it. That's a whole nother story. But Tiff bought it after she graduated high school. And when she bought it, literally, when you press on the gas, and then it'll go. And I'm like, why did you buy this car? Like, if it vibrates when you take off, it's a bad sign. Like, don't buy the car. And she's like, it was this or a Mazda 3. You go with the Mazda 3 if the Civic vibrates. She's like, but it was a standard, and I didn't want to have to drive a standard on the Fayetteville campus. It's like, the car vibrates. Anyways, Lord help her. But I love my wife. But the car, it has 120,000 miles on it, okay? So it's, not that bad for a Honda. Hondas will run till they hit 300, right? But this car is not a normal Honda. It's a hybrid. And so I've been having these problems. Well, one of the problems is the hybrid battery died, okay? If you know anything about hybrid batteries, you know they're expensive. They're like $3,000 for a hybrid battery. This car is maybe worth $1,500. And so I pull it in for inspection, and the hybrid battery is what holds the codes for your emissions test and all that. You know what I'm saying? So I pull it into this emissions test, and God is God's just working, and I don't see it yet. And I fail the emissions test. See, a lot of y'all thought I was going to say I passed. I failed it, okay? And so I was like, man, God, I can't afford another car right now. And all you people that are holier than out, listen, I hit the steering wheel. I was mad. It wasn't I was like, God, I don't want a car payment. My cars are paid off. I'm good. No. And so the guy was like, just drive it around a little bit and see if the codes will kick in and the battery will charge and bring it back and try it again. Toby gave me this awesome little code reader. And so I'm sitting there driving around town you know what I'm saying? I'm like, Lord. And we get down to 2, the engine light would come on. I'm like, God. I'd reset it, do it again, get to 2, same thing. Do it again, get to 2, same thing. And I'm praying this whole time. And And God kind of checked me because I was like praying. You know how we pray. You know, we're like, God, this isn't happening today. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, God, you got to do something here because I say so. And this is how I want things to go. And this is, and a lot of times that's what we do, right? Is we're like, God, this is how you got to work. Here's the boundaries. I'm going to allow you to do what you want to do within those boundaries, but anything outside of that, it's not okay. And I got this check in my Holy Spirit that, Keith, do you realize who you're talking to? You know, like, you know that talk with your, like, with your daddy once you talk back to your mama? No? Was I the only one? I only did it once, okay? I can tell you all that. And this is the kind of talk God's having with me. And he's like, do you realize who you're talking to? And so I sat back and I said, God, I'm sorry. You know where I'm at. And you know my perspective changed. Do you get what I'm saying? My perspective changed. And I came to a point of humility where I said, I had to come. See, the car, getting that emissions test to work was my idea of how I needed it to work, how I needed the breakthrough to work, how I needed God to work. And I was in control that way. You get what I'm saying? I was in control because that was comfortable. I don't have a car payment with this car. I don't have the bills that I have to do if I get a new car. Lord, that this is my comfortability stage. A lot of times it prevents us from getting the help that we need. Humility enables God to help us, right? And so I'm sitting there and God just humbled me. He's like, listen, son, you know who you're talking to? And so I changed my perspective. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, you know that according to my eyes and according to our budget, that a car payment is not feasible to me. But you're in control. And I'm believing that if it's time for a new vehicle, you're going to bring through the money to pay a vehicle payment. Or, I threw this in at the end, I said, or you're going to speak to someone to give me one without a payment. And I was driving around, and literally after my perspective changed, you know what happened? I got it down to the one code that they said you could drive it in on, you know? And I pulled into the gas station, or not gas station, the quick car. Yeah, thank you, the maintenance place. And I said, guys, it's down to one code. The code's not on. Like, the engine light's not on. Like, check it now. Check it now. They get out there. They plug that thing in. And he's like, it's good. He's like, but we have to drive it around to the back of the building and hook it up to the actual state test machine. I was like, Lord. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no. So they drive it around, and they hook it up. And guess what? God is good, and it passed. And I drove it as soon as I left the parking lot. The engine light came back on. It's God. And y'all think that's silly, but it was so much to me in that time. But here's the deal, is my perspective changed. See, a lot of us are wanting a breakthrough, or we're wanting God to move on our behalf. But see, what my perspective changed to was not, God, I'm waiting for you to move, but God, I know who you are, and I know what you've said. And see, so it took me back to that Romans 8, or chapter 8, verse 28, where he says, I'm causing all things to work for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. I'm like, God, you're working this all out for my good. Does that make sense? I waited on his word, not for his word. I came to a point where I said, God, you've said this. And since you've said it, I can go cash it. You know what I'm saying? I can take that to the bank. It's good as cash. Now I'm waiting on that. I'm not waiting for the good things to come. I know what you said. A lot of times with a breakthrough of healing, we just need to come to the place where instead of we're waiting for the miracle, where we're looking for signs and wonders, where we're waiting on the promises of God. We're waiting on the promises of God because guess what? He is bound by his word. When he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, I can put money on that. I can walk through trials and tribulations knowing that I'm not alone. I don't have to look for the fact that, hey, when's the trial over? When's the tribulation over? That's not what God is saying. He's saying, look, wait on my word, not for my word. Wait on it, meaning, look, I said I won't leave you or forsake you in this. I'm walking with you. And it brings peace, but it also brings breakthrough. If you bow your heads and close your eyes. I read this earlier, but Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth. You can say to the mountains, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. He's talking about fear, anxiety, worry. He spoke to Jairus and said, believe and have faith and your daughter will be healed. And guess what? His daughter was healed. Why? Because he didn't doubt. He believed in who God said he was. Here's another one for you. It says that what? He who began a great work in you is faithful to complete it. Some of you have started on this journey this morning. Or maybe it's been a journey and you've been on it for a long time and you've needed a breakthrough of healing. Or you've needed a breakthrough in your life. You need to know this morning, listen, this is the promise. This is the word that we wait on. He who began a great work in you is faithful to complete it. His ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Some of y'all, a lot of us ask the question, well, Keith, why? You know, I prayed for a miracle and it never happened. Maybe you're in the boat where your loved one really did pass away and you fought all you could and you prayed all you could and you're like, Keith, where's the breakthrough in that? Listen, I'm not going to try to give answers I don't have. That's not my place, but what I can tell you is that there becomes peace like we talked about last week, and there comes a hope when we wait on his promises. I can tell you that sin entered this world and it messed it up from God's perfect design. And I can't tell you why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. All I can tell you is that it's a result of sin in this world, but God is faithful. And he's begun a work in you today. And he's faithful to complete it. But you got to believe in him. You got to trust in him. And I want to give you all that opportunity. Never want to close a service at the crossing without giving someone the opportunity to put their full faith, to believe in God, in Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today, like, Keith, I'm at the point of breakthrough, but you're telling me to have trust, and you're telling me to believe in someone that I've never really met, and I've never really had a relationship with. Or maybe you have had a relationship with him, and it's just dwindled and it's fell away, and you've walked away. I want to give you the opportunity to put your commitment in him, to put your life in him, to come to a place of humility where you're saying, I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to give this to you, God. If that's you today and you say, Pastor Keith, I want to know him personally. I want to have a relationship with him. If that's you, I just want you to make eye contact with me where you're sitting. Head bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. This is between that person and God. See ya. See him. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. All right. Those of you who looked at me, look, Romans talks about if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, then He will save you. We're talking about breakthrough this morning. You want to talk about a breakthrough of healing? Listen, people are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You want to talk about breakthrough? Come on. God will save you this morning. And so I'm not going to call you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I believe through the commitment of you looking at me is already a symbol that you say, God, I can't do it on my own. And so we're fixing to confess with our mouth. But after we say amen, the belief is up to you. The belief is the actions that you take from this day forward. So I want everyone to pray with me so that way no one's singled out. Lord, repeat after me, everyone. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I come to you in surrender, knowing that I've messed up, that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son to die for me, and that He rose again. To you, Jesus, lead me. In Jesus' name, amen.